Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj Shima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Gopremanande. So tonight we shall continue with chapter 60. What is chapter 60 called? Okay. So tonight we'll go from verses 22 to 40. And we'll continue to hear about Krishna with Rukmini. Goddess Rukmini had never before heard such unpleasantries from her husband, the Lord of the Universal Rulers, and she became frightened. A tremor arose in her heart, and in terrible anxiety she began to cry. With her tender foot effulgent with the reddish glow of her nails, she scratched the ground, and tears darkened by her eye makeup sprinkled her kunkum, reddened breasts. There she stood, face downward, her voice choked up by extreme sorrow. Rukmini's mind was overwhelmed with unhappiness, fear, and grief. Her bangle slipped from her hand, and her fan fell to the ground. In her bewilderment, she suddenly fainted, her hair scattering all about as her body fell to the ground, like a plantain tree blown over by the wind. Vrishni Bhamja, would you like to read the purport?
Shocked by my Lord Krishna's word, Rukmini could not understand that the Lord was only teasing, and thus she displayed these ecstatic symptoms of grief, which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti characterizes as sattvika ecstasies, ranging from becoming stunned to dissolution.
So any points here? So Rukmini is displaying transcendental ecstasies. They're called sattvika bhavs. Sattvika bhavs means ecstasies that overwhelm the body. And she shows symptoms of her ecstasy. Now, Rukmini is an expansion of Chandravali. So the level of devotion is very high. There are 9 levels of prema. Very advanced levels of love for Krishna. And what she's experiencing is extremely exalted. So she is feeling completely overwhelmed. She becomes stunned. But even a higher level of ecstasy is when, as it says here, you feel dissolution. But it's almost like death. She faints and she almost leaves her body, feeling separation from Krishna. So it's an extremely elevated level of consciousness, extremely elevated level of ecstasy which she's experiencing. So the Bhagavatam is here describing some of the exalted symptoms of one of Krishna's most advanced devotees or pure devotees. So we're learning about things which are well above our level of experience and understanding. But we should study it carefully and sincerely and pray that we get some understanding of all of this. And that eventually we'll get some glimpse into the actual feelings of ecstasy that Rukmini is feeling. So Krishna is speaking in a particular way, and it has brought about a particular result. So the Bhagavad, this is the goal, prema prayojana. The goal of studying the Bhagavatam is to understand Krishna prema, love for Krishna. And Rukmini is manifesting that love. So we have to understand it to the best of our ability. Now this is the goal. When she has so much love for Krishna, she just faints. Cannot be imitated cheaply, but we should understand it, we should aspire to understand it first and then to experience. Any points? Is this Vipralamba?
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Separation from Krishna? Yeah, maybe. Not specifically Vipralamba. It's more like there are different levels, like prema, vivarta, prema vaichitya, where even they're with Krishna but they can feel separation. But it's not really like that. It's a little bit different. Any other points?
This last time reminds me of similar instance where Radharani was basically sitting with Krishna, and I think someone said Madhusudan has left or something on the bed, and she started crying, and that's how friends are. But it's a similar type of feeling, I suppose, is necessary.
Yeah, it's going towards that kind of level. Yeah. Any other points? Seeing that his beloved was so bound to him in love that she could not understand the full meaning of his teasing, merciful Lord Krishna felt compassion for her. So, as we discussed last night, Rukmini is the expansion of Chandravali, and because she's an expansion of Chandravali, she feels submission towards Krishna, because it is a what we describe as a right wing mood towards Krishna. So that is how she's feeling. So she's experiencing intense humility, which is called dānya. And we've discussed previously, last year, when discussing the love of the gopis, and early this year also. Dānya and prema are synonymous. You cannot have one without the other. Prema means love for Krishna. If someone has love for Krishna, they will also have perfect humility. If you have perfect humility, then you must also have love for Krishna. So both must be there. And actually it's a symptom of advancement. Sometimes we think, oh, we are getting advanced or becoming advanced. Sometimes we think others around us are becoming advanced. But if there's not genuine humility there, then it's not, the advancement is not real. It is not exalted. So you have to look at, we have to study ourselves. First of all, are we developing real humility? Are we developing that consciousness that I am just a servant? I'm lower than the blade of grass. I'm more humble than the tree. More humble than the blade of grass. More tolerant than the tree. Willing to offer all respect to others. Not expecting respect for ourselves. That's the actual level of advancement that we need to come to. So you see here that she is feeling this mood of humility. She's taking it that Krishna is just joking with her. Krishna does not have real... he's not really insulting her, but he's just teasing her. Or just speaking to her in a very... it's like a teasing manner. But her humility is so deep that she's actually feeling that Krishna is not... disposed towards me, or that Krishna is rejecting me. That's how she's feeling. And feeling that Krishna is rejecting her, then she is fainting and experiencing these emotions. So this is the level of her humility. Even though she's such an exalted devotee, and she's so fixed in Krishna consciousness, even still being fixed in Krishna consciousness and being so exalted, she doesn't think that, well, Krishna's just teasing me and, you know, this is all superficial. But she's so deeply absorbed in her love for Krishna. And she has such genuine humility, and it awakens, that she feels that, well, Krishna is rejecting me. She has some feeling like that. So then she faints and all these external manifestations take place. So Dainya and Prema are synonymous. You cannot have one without the other. And we have to see now, so are we actually developing Dainya? Are we actually developing humility? We've said many times before, pride often borrows the cloak of humility. It's easy to act humble. You see many people, humble. There's all the external mannerisms there, and they say the right thing, and there's an external display of etiquette, but the real humility, that's a different thing. Any points?
If Radharani was in her position, how happy her heart is perhaps?
What is it?
If Radharani was in the position of Rukmini, what would be her response?
That's the opposite. It's what Satyabhama would do. She would have become angry. So it's different. Differently.
Beat up Krishna.
Yeah, she would have become angry. the level of man would have manifest. What Krishna was trying to do to Rukmini was to bring the man or the anger out of her, but it didn't work. With Radharani, it would have come out, and Krishna would have been very pleased. Any other point? The Lord quickly got down from the bed, manifesting four arms. He picked her up, gathered her hair, and caressed her face with his lotus hand. So, Prabhupada used to say, if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes
ten steps
towards you. Krishna is eager to reciprocate with us. We are not so eager to have Krishna's reciprocation. But if we are eager, then Krishna will reciprocate. So because she showed so much love, and she showed so much prema and humility, and such intense emotion by fainting, then Krishna immediately got down and he picked her up. And then he began to clean her face. So Krishna reciprocates according to the devotee's mood. Now actually Krishna, he is very, how would you say it? He's very satisfied with her display of love, because Krishna tried to make her angry, but he couldn't make her angry, and she fainted. But then when he saw that her love was so powerful, and her mood, the mood that she has in her love towards him, which is to be submissive, could not be broken, he became completely indebted to her. Krishna was amazed, and it stimulated his love. Seeing her chastity and her humility and her submission, even though he wanted a different mood, but seeing the purity of her submissive love and how exalted it was, then Krishna himself got off the bed where he was sitting and picked her up. So that's how powerful Rukmini's love is. He prefers Chandra, he prefers Radharani's love to Chandravali's love, but still, Chandravali is the second favorite gopi out of all the gopis. So he so much appreciates her love. So, any points? Wiping her tear-filled eyes and her breasts, which were stained by tears of grief, the Supreme Lord, the goal of his devotees, embraced his chaste wife, who desired nothing but him. O King, expert in the art of pacification, Sri Krishna tenderly consoled pitiable Rukmini, whose mind was bewildered by his clever joking, and who did not deserve to suffer so. So Krishna mentions this in the Gita. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is an expansion of the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. Everything we read in Bhagavad Gita, then that is demonstrated in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So what is one verse from Gita which describes this reciprocation? Very good, yeah. Yeyatamam prabhajante. As you surrender to me, I will reward you accordingly. So Krishna reciprocates according to the level of devotion of the devotee. Rukmini is showing so much devotion, Krishna himself is serving Rukmini. Krishna will serve the devotee, but he has to see the correct level of surrender that attracts Krishna to his devotee. Any points? The Supreme Lord said, O Vaidabhi, do not be displeased with me. I know that you are fully devoted to me. I only spoke in jest, dear lady, because I wanted to hear what you would say. Alia, you like to read?
According to Vishwanatha Chakravarti, Lord Krishna spoke the present verse because he thought that lovely Rukmini might be afraid he would again say something to disturb her, or that she might be angry at what he had done.
So any points there? Yeah. Krishna desired to pacify Rukmini. Krishna, in the Bhagavatam, the first time we see him is in chapter 7, in the first canto. So what's he doing the first time we see him? What is it? Yeah, Bhakta Vatsala. He's displaying that quality of Bhakta Vatsala. He's Partha Sarathi. He's showing that he likes to serve his devotee. In one sense, that is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you understand this point, you've understood the Bhagavatam. The famous example is when Mahaprabhu went to South India and he met the Brahmana who was crying while he was reading the Bhagavad Gita, and he was illiterate and he couldn't even read the Sanskrit, but just meditating on the picture of Krishna. On the front of the Bhagavad Gita, we see Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. So he was crying, seeing that the Lord himself was driving the chariot of Arjuna. And Lord Chaitanya said, why do you cry? And he explained, because the Lord has become the servant of the devotee. Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, "You understand the Bhagavad Gita." And the Brahmin said, "I can't even read the Bhagavad Gita." He said, "No, but you understand the essence of it." No? So this is the essence, that the Lord himself serves the devotee. Krishna is, Rukmini has fainted. Krishna is, has picked her up and is taking care of her. That's why Krishna says to Arjuna in the Adi Purana, declare it boldly. No, not that. He doesn't say that. He says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. But one who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So Krishna is teaching us in the Adi Purana. He teaches to Arjuna. You must serve the devotees. And you see, Krishna himself serves the devotees. He serves Rukmini, he serves Arjuna. He serves so many of the devotees, Kubja, so many. Right? So that is his mood. Right? Just like the parent becomes very happy when he sees the children acting in the way that the parent would like them to act. Right? If the children show good manners, then we become very proud. Yes, that's how I would like you to act. So when Krishna sees us serving the devotees, he's very happy because that's how he behaves. And when we neglect his devotees, then that gives Krishna pain. So we have to serve the devotees. That's the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya summarized all his teachings in three lessons. Nama Ruchi, Vaishnava Seva, Jiva Doya. That's basically Lord Chaitanya's entire teachings. Nama Ruchi, develop a taste for chanting the holy name. Right? Vaishnava Seva, serve devotees. Jiva Daya, give mercy to those who are not devotees. And that's basically the entire mission. So that is Krishna's mood, that is Lord Chaitanya's mood. So if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to serve the devotees. Any points?
Where is this quotation from Krishna that the one who is my devotees says my devotees?
Adi Purana.
It starts with Yame Bhaktachana.
I also wanted to see your face with lips trembling in loving anger, the reddish corners of your eyes throwing sidelong glances, and the line of your beautiful eyebrows knit in a frown. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains here that normally by the Lord's transcendental desire, his pure devotees are associated with him in such a way that they satisfy his spiritual desires. But Rukmini's love was so strong that her unique mood predominated in the situation, and thus instead of becoming angry, she fainted and fell to the ground. Far from displeasing Krishna, however, she increased his transcendental ecstasy by exhibiting her and all encompassing love for him.
So, any points?
Love is great.
Very good. Any other points? Any other points? So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that Krishna's Ichcha Shakti is at work. Just like when we describe the functions of the mind, what are the functions of the mind? Thinking, feeling, willing. So in Sanskrit, how do we say that? Thinking is jnana shakti. Feeling is ichcha shakti. Right? And then? Yeah, kriya shakti is willing. So Krishna, he thinks about something. Jnana means Krishna is savagya. Means he knows everything. He knows everything simultaneously. So jnana shakti means he thinks something. Ishta shakti means then he desires it. Let it be done. Feeling. Let it happen. And kriya shakti means he makes it happen. Thinking, feeling, willing. Now I will do it. So here, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that Krishna's ichta shakti is at work. Ichta means he's feeling. He desires. Ichta. He wants it to happen. So what was his desire? Yeah, to make Rukmini angry. But it didn't work. An interesting point. Because if God wants something to happen, it should happen. And he's very good. Right? You know, if usually he gets his way. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that the devotee's prema is more powerful than God's will. Interesting point. Even though he wanted a reaction from her, she would not break her mood of devotion to him. Even though he tried his best. But he could not defeat her. Even though she's fainted and she's fallen on the ground and everything, but she's defeated him. Because he could not get the reaction that he wanted. Which shows how powerful her love is. It's called Stahibha. Stahibha means permanent ecstasy. Her permanent ecstasy is in conjugal ras. To serve Krishna as a wife, as a lover. But in a very particular mood. And that cannot be broken. This particular mood. So that's how powerful Rukmini's love is, even more powerful than Krishna's desire. So she is like the personification. Chandravali, her original form, is the personification of a submissive lover, the right-wing gopi. She is the most perfect submissive lover, and Radharani is the most perfect unsubmissive lover. So both of them are showing perfection. Because Krishna wants everything. So he has gopis in one mood, he has gopis in another mood. He has wives in one mood, wives in another mood. To increase his satisfaction. So, any points?
Is it the failure of Ishta Shakti or Kriya Shakti?
Ichcha.
Ichcha.
Ichcha. Ichcha. Ichcha. Any other points?
Also, this pastor, we can see generally the rest of the devotee does not change because each one has got a particular rasa which only he can satisfy the Lord. So we see here like the Stahibha, it does not change of a devotee even though there are the separate species.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, sometimes devotees say this, like, if you're a cowherd boy, can you become a gopi? Okay. Anything is possible, but Stahibha means permanent ecstasy. It means you don't change, because cowherd boys like to play with Krishna, gopis like to dance with Krishna. It's a different mood. So you don't change your ecstasy. It's permanent. When we go back to the spiritual world, our relationship with Krishna is permanent, set. We just have to rediscover what that relationship is. Does anyone know what their relationship with Krishna is in the spiritual world? If you do know, you're not allowed to tell anyone. Yeah. Except your guru and very, very intimate associates. Otherwise, you can't tell. I don't think anyone knows anyways. So I'm not particularly worried. When you realize that you'll know why, you should not say it. Or you just won't say it. Sometimes they ask Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he never said anything. Brahmananda Prabhu one time, he said, I had a dream. And he said, Prabhupada, you were a golden youth. Like gold, golden youth. Prabhupada said, if you saw my real form, you would faint. That's all he said. He said, if you saw my real form, you would faint. So he never said.
Can you guess?
You can guess all you want. There's only two options. He's either a cowherd boy or he's a Manjari. They're the only two options. And some of Prabhupada's disciples believe that Prabhupada's a cowherd boy, and some of Prabhupada's disciples believe that Prabhupada's a Manjari. Right? And who is right? We don't know. And how will we find out? If we go back to the spiritual. That's the only way we'll find out. Unless Prabhupada reveals it, but he didn't reveal it while he was here. So. Yeah, it means there are 9 levels of bhakti. Sadhana, what we call sadhana bhakti, goes up to the platform of bhava. If you read the Nectar of Devotion, the first 14 chapters are about vaiti sadhana bhakti. Chapter 15 and 16 are about Raganuga, sadhana bhakti. That's all sadhana. Vaidhi or Raganuga. That's all sadhana. And then chapter 17 and 18 are about bhava bhakti. That's not sadhana. That's sadhya. Chapter 19 is about prema. That's perfection. So sadhana goes from shraddha to asakti. So when you get to the platform of asakti, you begin to realize your sahibhav. It becomes realized. In other words, you know who you are.
So it is possible in this world itself.
Yeah. Possible. It's just a matter of consciousness, that's all. You know, some of our gurus in ISKCON, they may know their sahibhav. They may know it. You know, they may not fully realize it. You know, may not develop bhava or prema, but they may know it. Very high level of sadhana, ruchi asakti. They may know who they are. Any points? The greatest pleasure worldly householders can enjoy at home is to spend time joking with their beloved wives, my dear timid and temperamental one. So Krishna is known as Rasaraj, or Rasika Shekha, which means he is the Lord of Ras. So he does all these things just to stimulate Ras. Anything that Krishna does just increases the love of the devotee. So someone may say, well, he's being cruel to Rukmini. No, he's not being cruel to Rukmini, because he's increasing her love. Same thing happened with the gopis in Vrindavan. He left the rasa dance. Why? Right? To increase their love. Because Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said, unless he left the rasa dance, he actually went missing before the rasa dance. Right? He disappeared before the rasa lila. And then, when he finally came back, then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said, then the rasa lila could take place because the emotions were so heightened. If he hadn't disappeared, they wouldn't have become so intense in their love for him. The rasa lila would not have had the same potency. So it is only when the rasa lila gets to the highest level, when Krishna causes separation between him and his devotees. So everything he does just increases the love of the devotees. So with Rukmini, he's not acting improperly, but he's just increasing her love. So everything Krishna does is perfect.
Rasa Raj.
Any other point?
Why did you say temperamento?
What is it?
Why did you say temperamento?
Why did he call her temperamental? He's trying to invoke her, trying to make her angry.
Still.
Yeah, he's being sarcastic. Mm-hmm.
Just at that point when you say that the devotee's love is stronger than Krishna's will sometimes. But usually we know also that the interests of the devotees are aligned with Krishna's interests, isn't it? Like to see how we try to understand it.
Yeah, but the point is there that she cannot break her mood. So by her staying in that mood, that gives Krishna more pleasure. Now he loves her more, seeing how much she is attached to him in a particular way. So Krishna's pleasure is increased and her pleasure is increased. So.
What is Kashyap Mission?
What is it?
Kashyap Mission in this. Page 1 in the translation.
Facetiously. How do you define facetious? Facetious.
Joking.
Yeah, facetious. Yeah, it's joking, or it's being even just a little more accurate. It's like a little bit like being sarcastic. Like joking, sarcastic, like that. Facetious. You say one thing, but you mean another. Like that. That kind of. Shukadev Goswami said, O King, Queen Vaidabhi was fully pacified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and understood that his words had been spoken in jest. Thus she gave up her fear that her beloved would reject her. Smiling bashfully as she cast charming, affectionate glances upon the face of the Lord, the best of males, Rukmini, spoke the following, O descendant of Bharata. Sri Rukmini said, Actually, what you have said is true, O lotus-eyed one. I am indeed unsuitable for the almighty personality of Godhead. What comparison is there between that Supreme Lord, who is the master of the three primal deities, and who delights in his own glory, and myself, a woman of mundane qualities, whose feet are grasped by fools. So Rukmini is showing the level of her dainya, or her humility. It's extreme humility. So it's another point we have to understand. You know, we see in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, because Prabhupada was a prema bhakta, right? He was someone who attained the level of prema, love for Krishna. So you see that Prabhupada had complete humility. So when you study Prabhupada's life, his pastimes, his teachings, his conversations, you see that Prabhupada is displaying complete humility. So that's how we understand it. You have to read the Bhagavatam and see Rukmini. You have to read the Leelamrita. You have to see Prabhupada. It's not a false humility. It's real humility. Sometimes Prabhupada appeared to be exactly the opposite. And devotees were walking with Prabhupada in Kolkata. And there's the... what was it? The Victoria Monument? Was it?
Yeah,
the Victoria Memorial. Right? Big. So Prabhupada was walking past it, and he said, when I was a child, they were building it. And there was scaffolding. And he said, me and my friends came and we climbed to the top. Mm-hmm. And when you're kids, you do things like that. So then the devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, you are very brave. Prabhupada said, still I am very brave. He said, how else could I have come to your country? So that's not humility, what we would call humility. But Prabhupada would speak like that sometimes, right? But he had complete humility. You have to see, like, how he would speak in various situations. Completely humble doesn't mean, you know, some devotees are always walking around like this. You know, that's not humility. Prabhupada wasn't like that. You know, Prabhupada would sometimes say things that didn't sound humble, but he was completely humble. Completely surrendered to Krishna. You know, one time when Prabhupada arrived in India and his godbrothers were criticizing him. They were saying, oh, you know, he's doing like this and he's doing like that, and he uses the title Prabhupada, which was his guru's title. You know, so they were criticizing him. So he was driving from Calcutta to Mayapur in the car. He's with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna was saying, oh, Prabhupada, they criticize him. And Prabhupada said, then you say to them, how many temples did you open? How many devotees did you make? And how many books did you distribute? And then we'll see who is the actual son of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada wasn't, no, false humility. But, you know, if he was challenged, he would challenge back. So we have to understand real humility. And when you read all of what Prabhupada said and how he acted, you know, sometimes he showed very deep humility. Other times he would show other moments like this. But this is how we learn humility, when we see it in the Bhagavatam. And you'll see it in devotees. Sometimes devotees are very humble, genuinely humble. Sometimes we're not very humble, because we have the demon and the devotee in the same body. Sometimes humble, but other times not so humble. So. Any points?
What Srila Prabhupada said was statement of facts. He did open so many temples. He did preach so much. What he did do?
Anything else?
I think the shloka also shows that Rukmini is a perfect submissive wife by making her husband right, showing him that he's also still right. So it's the humility, yes, but it's also the way she's speaking to him. It's like, you were correct in what you said.
She's trying to disprove him. Yeah, in some ways. Yeah, in some of it she's disproving. In other times she's trying to substantiate or defend what he said. Yeah, so she's doing both according to the rasa. Yeah. Okay.
Also, I have one more question.
Yep.
In the shloka before that,
yeah,
it says that she was fearful of, thus she gave up her fear that her beloved would reject her. Can you explain a bit more what she was fearful of? Because I'm sure it wasn't about her, because she has pure love for Krishna. Wouldn't it be about Krishna? She's not worried that he's going to reject her for herself.
She's Krishna's wife, so yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
just confused me.
Yeah, the feeling is valid. You know, for Krishna's wife to feel that Krishna's rejecting, that feeling is natural. So yeah, she's feeling a little fearful. It's okay, but it's pure. Yeah, so. Yes, my lord Urukrama, you lay down within the ocean as if afraid of the material modes, and thus in pure consciousness you appear within the heart as the super soul. You are always battling against the foolish material senses, and even if your servants reject the privilege of royal dominion, which leads to the blindness of ignorance. So there's a number of points in this commentary. In this world we become overcome by the modes of material nature. And Vishnu Chakraitakawa, he gives a nice explanation. How do we overcome the effect of the modes of nature? Yeah, all those answers are correct. It says, specifically he says, you have to meditate on Krishna in your heart. When you realize Krishna is in your heart and you meditate on him, then the effects of the modes of nature disappear. You won't be affected by the three modes. At the moment we don't realize Krishna is in our heart. And because we don't realize that, we're still affected by the modes of nature. When you meditate on Krishna, Guru, Krishna, Vaishnavas, Hari Guru, Vaishnava, Bhagavata, Gita, Narottama Das Thakur sings. When you meditate like that, then the three modes of nature do not touch you. Then, it is described that when we realize Krishna is in our heart, we will give up the desire for sense gratification. The desire for sense gratification is what keeps us in this material world. Vishaya, Charya. Narottam Das Thakur sings this as well in another bhajan. He says it is the desire for Vishaya. Vishaya means sense enjoyment that keeps us in this world. That's why we can't go back to the spiritual world. We want to enjoy sense gratification. So when Krishna sees the devotee is desiring to overcome that desire for sense gratification, he assists the devotee. And I see that in myself. Because I can't overcome the desire for sense gratification. Right? By myself, I can't do it. You know, I've realized that after practicing for a number of years. I can't give it up by myself. It's not possible. I mean, it's not that it's not possible, but I'm not sincere enough. But if I try, I can't give it up fully, but I'm trying, Krishna will assist. And when you're really ready, he will completely assist. You know, he'll give you an incurable disease or something. You know, some real mercy. So then you give it up. Sometimes he does. Like that. That's mercy though. When Krishna gives something very negative, actually it's very positive. I was having dinner with one devotee and we were discussing this point. That sometimes Krishna, he gives you what you need to purify your karma, to detach you from this world. If you want an easy life, or if you don't want to suffer, then walk out now and go to the Buddhist temple. Buddhist temple. Or anything, doesn't matter. You can take whatever one you want. Or go to the church, or go to the Shiva Vishnu temple, or the Jain temple, or the Durga Mandir, or take your pick, it's all the same. But in this institution, in the temple of Radha Vallabha, that's not the mood. The mood is Krishna will give you what you need to break your attachments. And sometimes it's very severe. And that's the test. The test is, will you accept the severity? And will you see it as Krishna's mercy? If you're advanced, you'll see it as Krishna's mercy. So for a devotee, there is no fear. Because everything is Krishna's mercy. Sooner or later, we just have to understand that Krishna will do whatever he wants anyway. So it doesn't matter what you say or do. You can say, oh, Krishna, don't do this. He just does it anyway. It's up to him. You know, I'm at a point now when I go to see the deity. Sometimes I say to them, purify me, but just do it softly and slowly. I'm being honest. I actually say that. You know, I bow down. Sometimes, you know, my head's on the ground in the temple. And I say, purify me, but just softly and slowly. Because I know he's going to do whatever he wants anyway. Yeah, that's what I want, but, you know, it's up to him. You know, and then I stand up, I look at him and he's smiling. You know, but it's up to him. If he wants to do it, he'll do it softly and slowly. If he wants to do it heavily, he'll do it heavily. That's up to him. So you can't make Krishna act in a particular way.
Isn't it
your
consciousness? It depends on your consciousness.
Yeah.
Because if you are conscious, it doesn't matter where you...
Yeah, if you're surrendered, it doesn't matter how. It's up to Krishna how he does it.
Because he's everywhere.
Which one?
Gandharvika Mataji.
Who is that?
The one who left 2 years ago.
Gandharvika?
Yes.
Ah, cha. Yeah, sorry.
She was sick and she even refused to take medication. And she just... You are lucky to see her. Thank you.
Yeah, very inspiring. Yeah, I pray that I can also face death the way she faced it. Very inspiring.
At the same point, she was so strong, she wouldn't talk to anybody. She left food.
And finally, Vishnachakravarti Thakur says in the purport, we have to become free of politics. You have to become free of politics.
It's not easy.
Not easy? For some people it's not easy. It's interesting. He says this. If you want to go back to Godhead, you have to become free of politics. Just like in Vrindavan, there's one place called Vrindakund. Now, where is that? in underground. And if Dinabandhu, you know Dinabandhu Prabhu?
Yeah.
You go there, he says, this is Brindakun. No, no pandas, no monkeys, no politics. He said, this is Brindakun. No monkeys, no pandas, no politics. Yeah, that's the mood. Have to become free of politics. Otherwise, you can't escape this world.
Why do you say? Because when you are in administration, you have to be a politician in administration.
Yeah, there's good politics and there's negative politics. Good politics means if something is wrong, you will be strong and you will correct it. But not the politics where everyone starts talking behind each other's back, and that's useless.
Actually, the root is you have to have the social life and the spiritual life as we
In a good management culture, or in a good organizational culture, you only say whatever you say to the person that it's directed to. In an unhealthy organizational culture, everyone will say it to everyone else except the person that they're actually talking about. Right? You see that. Even in ISKCON, you see sometimes. Everyone starts saying, oh, I'm talking about it, and then the devotee comes and everyone's like, like that. What is that? Either say it to them or don't say it. That's healthy. Now, I try to do that. I don't always do it, but I try to do that. Yeah. I just say it to the person. That's better. You know, Prabhu, something is not so good. I think you should think about this. That's better. Not just, you know, speaking to everyone else. Your movements, inscrutable, even for the sages who relish the honey of your lotus feet, are certainly incomprehensible for human beings who behave like animals. And just as your activities are transcendental, O all-powerful Lord, so too are those of your followers. You possess nothing because there is nothing beyond you. Even the greatest enjoyers of tribute, Brahma and the other demigods, pay tribute to you. Those who are blinded by their wealth and absorbed in gratifying their senses do not recognize you in the form of death. But to the gods, the enjoyers of tribute, you are the most dear, as they are to you. So the basic point, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is not attached to the material energy. Which means we should also not be attached to the material energy. Hands up if you're not attached to the material energy. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says we should not be. So what does that mean?
Right.
It means you're going to be coming to this class for a very long time.
Oh my God.
So we'll do our best to keep it going. Because we're not perfect yet. Yeah, I mean, I teach it. Yeah, and still I don't realize it. I'm still attached to the material world. Yeah, when I read it and I hear and we all speak it, I feel very detached. As soon as I walk out the door, it's all back again. So we have to gradually become detached from this material world. You are the embodiment of all human goals and are yourself the final aim of life. Desiring to attain you, O all-powerful Lord, intelligent persons abandon everything else. It is they who are worthy of your association, not men and women absorbed in the pleasure and grief resulting from their mutual lust. Knowing the great sages who have renounced the sannyasi's danda, proclaim your glories, that you are the supreme soul of all the worlds, and that you are so gracious that you give away even your own self. I chose you as my husband, rejecting Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the rulers of heaven, whose aspirations are all frustrated by the force of time, which is born from your eyebrows. What interest then could I have in any other suitors? My Lord, as the lion drives away lesser animals to claim his proper tribute, you drove off all the assembled kings with the resounding twang of your Shanga bowl, and then claimed me, your fair share. Thus, it is sheer foolishness, my dear Gadagraja, for you to say you took shelter in the ocean out of fear of those kings. So Krishna was saying before, why did you marry me? I'm hiding in the ocean because I'm scared. And she said, well, you're not actually, because you rode in front of everyone, just picked me up, put me on the chariot and rode out.
Like a lion.
Like a lion, yeah. And actually, in this particular verse, she does get angry. She doesn't get angry in any of the other verses, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says she actually gets angry with him at this point. So he's very happy. Finally, she gets a bit angry.
Is she angry or she's telling the truth?
Both. Sometimes you can tell the truth in an angry way. Like I can say, don't come late for my class. That is the truth. And I'm angry as well.
I guess so. Is she a bit protective of him here? In that angle?
Yeah, of course. Srila Prabhupada ki.